This episode of Recap the Recap is brought to you by the In Deep Show and Tweaked Audio. You already know what to do, but I'm going to tell you again. Go to tweakedaudio.com, put in the code IDS, get 33% off, free shipping worldwide. That goes for our overseas folks. Come on, just do it.
Do it.
Welcome to RTR. You know, B, I know I haven't introduced this yet, but I kept thinking, RTR, don't say RTR for short. Don't say RTR for short.
But you just did it twice. I am your man, Big B. You can find me on the Twitter streets at In Deep Show B, spelled out.
Damn, you can catch him clearing his throat on the Twitter streets. I am Queen Neen, and you can find me at MS_SmartyPants with a Z on Twitter. You can find the show at Recap the Recap. And you know that if you want to send us an email, you can hit us up at recaptherecap@gmail.com with any of your feedback or if you want to share anything. I totally forgot on one of our last episodes to give a shout out to T. Wilson, I want to give your middle name, but thanks for your feedback. You just said that episode we did was hilarious, and I forgot to say thank you to you for taking the time out to leave some feedback on Stitcher.
T-Dub.
Not T-Dub. Okay. Anyway, man, it's a lot going on in the news, but, you know, this is going to be a really great episode of Recap because we have some guests on with us today. But before we get to them, so the Oscars is this weekend and I'm not really looking forward to it. And I can't really say that I have been looking forward to the Oscars. One, because yawn, so boring. Like, give me something, give me something fun or different or something. And it's so funny, like early on in my work career, I used to really wanted to, you know, do work either with the Oscars or the Grammys or something like that. But as I got older, I'm like, oh gosh, I dodged a bullet because this just seems so boring. I mean, it's super cool, I'm sure, to see, you know, celebrities walk the carpet and, you know, watch and see what everybody's wearing. And, you know, that part of it's really, really cool. But the rest of it, like the actual event, the ceremony, ugh. And this year is going to be no different. One, because there's going to be like a small protest that's going to take place during the Oscars because, you know, people are upset that Selma was not nominated and the director wasn't nominated, which, full disclosure, I did not see Selma yet. But, you know, I heard it was a really, really great movie and everybody was super surprised that it wasn't nominated for anything. So, you know, it makes me wonder, like, you know, as I said, I don't care because I'm not going to watch it anyway. But it makes me wonder, like, why did that movie, since it was so awesome, not get nominated? But, you know, I was reading an article that said that they pretty much broke down the stats of the voting members, and they said that they're overwhelmingly white with an average age of 60. And I'm like, okay, that's really old,
right?
You know, for you to be over, you know, voting over the whole entire, you know, academy. You know, why not mix it up and throw in some people in their 20s, their 30s? And I'm sure there are probably like a couple of them sprinkled in there, mm-hmm. but a majority. You know,
but all those 80-year-olds offset them on the average.
Did you say 80? I said 60.
You said that was the average age. So for all the 20s, they had a couple 80s in there. They all set their ass.
Okay. Well,
I don't want to relive this shit.
Right.
I did that with that Martin Luther King already.
Okay. So so they'll be protesting that, you know, that the Academy needs more people of color, you know, and...
Do you think this has anything to do with sort of a in-your-face for last year's sort of dominance with the 12 Years a Slave and all that?
Well, I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think so. One, because they're two totally different moves. I mean, granted, yes, right, they're black people.
Right. I mean, well, I don't mean the comparison between those two movies. Mean, hey, I'm just saying with that. All the pageantry and everything surrounding that movie and the... I can't get her name out right now.
Oh, gosh. Oh, my gosh. I could see her beautiful face.
Right.
Lupita.
Lupita, right.
Yeah.
Lupita Piper. Okay, so...
What? Stop. Nope. Mm-mm. No, you will not. You will not on her name, sir. Anyway, but go
I'm
ahead.
I'm just saying, though, do you think they were like, all right, you know, you Negroes, settle down.
Right.
We gave y'all all the last year. Mm-hmm. Let us have our time.
Let you have your time. How old is the Academy? Isn't it like 1,000 years old? Like, what do you mean? No. No, I do not agree with that. That's some bullshit. I'm sorry. But they're probably like, hey, we let Halle Berry and Denzel Washington win. So, you know, we even let Monique win. So I'm going to need y'all to settle down and, you know, go over there and, yeah, just go over there and sit down. Speaking of that. So we know Monique. I don't know if you heard about Monique. They were talking about how she won the award and she's saying that since she's won, she hasn't gotten any work, you know, and it finally came out, like Lee Daniels came out and was like, hey, you're not getting no work because you're not putting it in the work, you know. So apparently when you win an Oscar, you got to go out there, pound the pavement, go to some parties, you know, be seen, you know, get your handshake on, get your hug on, get your brown nose on. You got to do all that shit just to get it. You know what? I hate you already. I don't even know what you're doing in that corner, but I'm going to beat you. You know, you have to get it in and, like, go do it. And Monique wasn't doing any of it, you know. And she was wondering, like, well, why didn't I win? I mean, why am I not working as much as I was working before, you know? And so Lee Daniels was like, look, I'm going to keep it real. She was really difficult to work with. She's not out there doing what she's supposed to be doing. And so, you know, essentially she probably was blackballed, like Monique said she was. She said she was blackballed. So, girl, you better go out there. And if you're trying to get back in, go out there. Just go to a couple cocktail parties, man. I mean, shit, free drinks. Talk to people. You know, whatever.
She on break.
It's been like you know a billion years since she's been out. So, I mean, besides doing like maybe some stand-up shows and losing weight and putting out YouTube videos, what you been doing?
I punched in at 8:30. I'm on break.
I'm just saying. I like Monique, and I'd like to see her in like a sitcom again.
12 to 4.
Or something. You know what I mean? Like maybe not a talk show because I did not watch her talk show. But maybe like another sitcom because she's really funny, you know?
I feel you.
So get out there and do something.
No doubt. But you know what, though? Big props for somebody stepping up to her and saying, hey.
Right.
You know.
Well, it took him a minute.
I dig it, but, you know, maybe he was waiting to see if anybody else would grow a pair. And he gave people space.
Oh, you know. It's been some years since she won for Precious. So.
But it was done.
Yeah. But hopefully she'll take the words and she'll move forward and, you know, shit. I'd like to see her back out there again. Even though she lost a lot of weight, I don't care. She's still repping for the big girls, but not really, but kind of, sort of. But whatever. I'd like to see her out there because she's hilarious to me.
No doubt. Check it. Speaking of the whole actor-actress thing, what's your take on Eddie Murphy's lackluster showing at SNL?
Man, that was like the build-up. It's like, you know, when you're about to have sex with somebody and then it's just like after you finish and it was like nothing. Mm-hmm. And like you were like, oh, yes, this is going to be the best sex ever. And then it's just like, like, I was expecting like him to be in skits. I was expecting for like a long monologue. I was just expecting to see Eddie Murphy shine, because they hyped the shit out of him coming, you know, to the show. And all he did was say blah de blue, blah, 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 and we'll be right back. And he had to repeat, we'll be right back, because apparently somebody fell asleep in the control room and didn't go to commercial. So,
you know, initially I sort of had the same feeling. But then after reading some things and hearing some people sort of leak some stuff, to me it sounded like there was a huge miscommunication in a sense. Some things weren't cleared.
Okay.
On the way things would go down. So, I guess in a sense, I sort of, with the, especially with the whole Bill Cosby thing, I sort of applaud him for not going after that low-hanging fruit, a person of his stature. I'm not saying, I don't have a problem with, what's his name?
Keenan.
I don't have a problem with him doing it, because he's still in that realm of sort of, you know, he hasn't hit the super bright lights of Eddie Murphy, you know. So he can still go after that. But I applaud Eddie for, I guess just in a sense saying, I don't have to take those low jabs, you know, to get the laugh. I just wish, again, things didn't have to sort of be so messy. That way we could have gotten a better product.
Well, I think actually, I don't know if you saw the billions of tweets that Norm Macdonald pulled out. It was kind of cool to see what really happened behind the scenes, and to see how, you know, that's a guy that was on SNL for a while, and how he really has respect for Eddie Murphy. You know, so that was a really interesting component, you know, to the whole SNL, you know, non-Eddie Murphy thing. I guess I give him credit for not doing the Cosby skit. I mean, because it was so quick anyway. You know, and I was thinking that we were going to see, like, a lot more. You know, like, how about, you know, even if we didn't see, like, the whole buckwheat thing, you know, how about, like, you know, he could have done the James Brown thing. He could have did, like, Mr. I forgot his character, but Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood or whatever, you know.
I would love to have seen him do a couple of those characters in their old age.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So it would have been cool to see, like,
like James Brown, like, oh, shit, I can't do this no more.
Right. I got to get in the hot tub because my bones are hurting and the wind is blowing too hard. Or, you know, or something to see more of him. I mean, versus him just coming out and being like, hey, guys, I'm here. And let's go to commercial. You know what I mean? And it was just kind of like, ugh, boring. I mean, that whole thing, honestly, was boring as shit. So.
And again, like I said, I just kind of feel like in my own personal mean nothing stance, I just feel like that was just a result of just poor communication. And it just set the tone for sort of a bad show from him.
Right. Well, yeah, I guess from, because you didn't see him.
Right.
And I watched the whole show, you know, and it was like, you know, some people had some good moments. Can I say one thing? And this is going to, I don't mean to sound mean, and I know it's been 40 years, but goddamn, those people look so old. Like, most of them look super, super old. Like, people were talking about that on Facebook. And I'm like, I know time goes on, and, you know, some time is good for some people and time is not good for others. But I will say Eddie Murphy looked really good. But
you think Eddie had work done?
He might have. I don't know, but black don't crack, supposedly.
I understand.
He maybe some Botox, maybe.
I think Eddie just a little bit. Something.
But some of them, you can tell they had something done, and they still look like the Crypt Keeper. So I don't know. I mean, you know, I guess it's Hollywood, so maybe you got to do something, you know, to kind of spruce yourself up so you won't come across as too old and crusty looking, you know. I don't know. Most of the men, I think most of the ladies looked okay, but it was a lot of the dudes looked like,
I think a lot more of these actors and actresses would win more awards for their roles if they came out during the day as themselves. Like, they don't get their glam team to glam them up to run to 7-Eleven and shit. So people can, like, see, like, oh, my God, that's her, and that's what she looked like in the movie. Oh, fuck.
Man, don't trip. Because NeNe came out. I mean, I know she's not an actor. Well, she is an actress now, but NeNe Leakes came out, and she was going somewhere, and they showed a picture of her without her makeup on, and everybody was like, holy crap.
That's what I'm talking about. It so was one of those. That's an award within itself. Like, shit, you able to transform from that to that?
That's one of those stars. They're just like us.
Right. How about that?
Well, anyway, so we're going to go ahead and take a really quick commercial break. And we'll be back soon. And, well, we'll tell you when we come back.
Hey, Queen.
Your touch, oh. Your hair.
What was that actress voice, name? The
whisper. Which one?
The one I can remember.
Lupita.
Lupita. Step.
Okay.
Your spin. Your care.
Your
voice. Your heat. Your light. Just there. I don't want to be free if it means that I'll be without you.
Welcome back to Recap to Recap. I am your man, Big B. With Queenie. It is time to get into that part of the show that you have all grown to love.
Some of you.
Some of you. Some of you take this time to find out ways to send me hate mail and stuff like that. But, you know, I love it. Take that.
Hey.
Tough skin. Queenie.
Hey, you.
What we got popping today?
All right. So a couple of shows ago, we recapped the show called A Different Identity Radio Show. And that was with Lawrence and Pam. And let me remind you the description of the show. So it goes, join Lawrence and Pam on Monday evenings at 8 p.m. as they give the male and female perspective to help you make better decisions, because we all know when you know better, you do better. So we decided to reach out to, you know, Pam and Lawrence and see what they thought about the show, if they had any feedback. And I do believe there was some feedback that you got, B, from, you know, from what you said in some of the clips. But, you know, we'll wait on that. So we brought Pam and Lawrence to the show today so we could, you know, just have a little bit of dialogue
and back talk and forth. More about the show and find out more about it.
Yeah.
Let them tell you things in their words.
Yes. So welcome, guys.
Lawrence,
welcome.
Pam.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for stopping by.
No doubt. So how are you guys doing today?
All is well.
Excellent. Absolutely marvelous.
Marvelous, huh, Pam?
Marvelous, yes.
Doesn't she look marvelous?
She does.
Yeah, I'm waiting.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
Pam,
uh-oh.
Pam all coordinated.
All right. In this corner.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, before we get started, won't you guys talk a little bit about your show? I do have a starting question for you, but, you know, just tell the listeners about your show, how it got started.
Pam, you want to take that?
Sure. A different identity was birthed out of desire for Lawrence and I to have a radio show. We were unsure exactly the direction in which we were going to go because we started off with just different topics, not necessarily relationship topics. We've been on air now for since August of 2013, Lawrence?
Yes.
13, right? 13. So we have grown in it a little bit, and now our topics stem a lot from relationships. So we talk a lot about relationships, and we talk about controversial relationship topics.
So basically what we want to do, what we wanted to bring to the table is the things that people talk about in relationships that they don't talk about. They talk about it amongst them, their friends, but we want to start a conversation so that people are aware of what's going on, basically so people won't feel like they're alone. And so that they realize that the things that they're going through or the things that they are experiencing, other people are experiencing as well. So we just wanted to bring life to it and offer our wisdom, offer some different perspectives from the male and female, and let people know it's okay to talk about it.
Great points. Are you guys like relationship experts or, you know, or what do you do, you know, in your day to day? And also too, I want to know how did you guys decide to connect and actually do this podcast? Maybe that's a better question to answer first.
So it was basically Pam is an author and her book signing I attended, and there were a bunch of ladies there who had questions about males. Mm-hmm. But in that particular forum, to ask a female the same questions just didn't work. So I offered my perspective on some different things, and it brought about some relief, we'll say, to some of the ladies in the room.
Mm. Okay. Mm.
Well, I want to piggyback off of that. So just so everybody know, Lawrence and I are cousins.
Okay.
So we shared a conversation one day, and that's how we started talking about the different things that we were experiencing in relationships, but in the same age range. So our audience is generally over the age of 35. So we don't consider ourselves relationship experts. We consider ourselves experience experts.
Yeah.
Because we offer ideas and differences based on our experiences or conversations with people.
Okay. Well, Pam, you said, so Pam, you're an author. So what types of books have you written?
Well, my books are under the genre of Christian fiction. So my book is entitled Save Single Sister Real Talk. So it is a fictional story about four friends and their adventures being saved, single, and trying to get a man. But I don't bring it from a so-called Christian myth idea. I bring it from the real ideals. So the women in my book have baby daddies, they online date, they date married men, all types of things. Mm. And that's how it started with the conversations, because when I would introduce a new book, there are currently two books in my series. So whenever I would do a book signing, I would do it as a book session. So we would talk about the different topics. And that was what Lawrence was talking about when we talked about the sessions.
Ooh, very interesting.
Now, going back a little bit, Lawrence, when you said you had to speak to those ladies, or I'll take the sugar coating off of it, you had to get them straight. Did you represent?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay, that's all.
Absolutely. You know, again, women, when in controversial situations, they seem to ask their girlfriends. And so if they've never been a man before, they can't give the proper perspective. They're just going to say, girl, just leave them. But what we try to do is help you understand it a little bit better. Why do we take this direction? Why do we say things as such? Why do we act as such? So that, again, it gives you a better understanding of the male.
Right. And, you know, one thing that I didn't get to include in when we did your review that I would like to sort of add now is one thing that I do appreciate about the show is the fact that you guys do keep it real, and keeping it real doesn't have to be gutter or gully. It you know, really, you know, you take the boxing gloves off and you know, you give it to it the way it needs to be done, and you know, doesn't, you know. So that's something that I really appreciate.
Thank you.
About the show.
Well, since we're on the you know, the topic of men, women, can you think of an interesting question or an interesting topic that you guys talked about on your show that was maybe not necessarily controversial, but got maybe the most feedback or something like that?
I mean, I think there's two of them. One, I would say about the low self-esteem. That was one of our highest ranking shows. And the other one, I believe, was I want love, but I'll settle for sex.
Well, talk about those.
You could have called that one the Bride Chronicles.
You know, we always reference the one point of Cat Williams talking about is self-esteem, is how you feel about you. But there's a lot of people who function out of a place of acceptance. And if you don't get that level of acceptance from someone, if you don't get what you think you need, it tends to fall apart. And so really being confident in yourself, having the ability to say what you feel and how you feel and how it makes you feel, gives a different perspective to the relationship. I think that people who are in relationships with people and they experience all of this drama, they deem it as, well, at least I know what he's doing. Well, at least I know he's going to come home to me. But they don't realize the after effect of it, that it tears them down. And, you know, and then you go into that domestic abuse type of deal, and that's a whole nother level right there. So I think what's important is that you understand each other, you build each other up, you support each other, and that way you have a healthy relationship.
Pam? And of course, I throw in the real stuff. Stop being a dummy and accept. People are only going to do to you what you accept. Mm. So if you accept sex, baby, that's what you're going to get. If you want a relationship, then you'll hold out till you feel that you're in a relationship. So when it comes to situations like that, for me, I'm telling women, look, if you go into that situation having sex, don't blame the man, baby. You got it just as much as he got it. So you have to accept what happens after that. Now, if you go into the relationship or the situation wanting a relationship, then hold out, because he may not necessarily be on the same page you on, babes. So, Pam, so you get what you get.
So, Pam, are you a fan of the 90-day rule, or is that something that you put out there to women?
I don't put out a rule because I feel like everybody is different, and you have to go the flow that you need. So when it comes to relationships, my thing is, I notice that a lot of women get angry because they get sex or give him sex, and then they feel like he should automatically be in a relationship with them after that moment, or he should treat them some certain kind of way because they gave up their body. But reality is, you're both adults, and you should have thought about that or had that conversation prior to the act. We all know that women are emotional, and once you have sex, it's all down the drain.
Oh, yeah, we go together. Mm-hmm. After that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we go together.
Mm-hmm. We go together now. Mm-hmm.
And his mind saying, I got it, you got it, I got mine, you got yours, what's the problem?
Right.
Fair exchange ain't a robbery.
Sir?
What happened? We got shot? No, right. She answered my question. I mean, no, because I just, the whole, she touched on the whole communicating, mm-hmm. you know, where we are thing, as opposed to just assuming, okay, you know, X amount of time is going to pass, so now I'm going to, you know, we're going to have sex, and that's going to solidify things, mm-hmm. as opposed to knowing that before you go in. Because, you know, I still like to believe that there's some dudes out here with their head screwed on that if they know that that's the contract that they're signing, you know, they'll pull the ripcord and pull out, for lack of a better term.
Really? Couldn't find anything better than pull out?
I'm just saying.
Okay. Well, okay. So I'm pretty sure you guys by now got to hear our recap of your show.
Right? Yes.
So was there anything that in our recap, where you going, Brian? Where you going?
What happened?
Is there anything in our recap that, you know, maybe you're like, hey, I have to jot this down as a note or something that I want to, you know, discuss. Should they, as we always do, every time we do a recap, we invite anybody on the show. So we're so glad that you were able. So glad you were able to join us. So was there anything that you wanted to discuss?
Oh, don't block the screen, man. Don't block the screen. You know I'm coming for you, don't you?
As Lawrence and I are like,
I yield the floor to Pam.
Right. Lawrence and I will just go step in the other room and we'll be right back.
Jaded? Does that, you know, I have one that call it today too, purposely. Jaded?
Ooh.
Brian?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
B?
Jaded? What exactly was the issue with that use of the word jaded?
Yes, you used that word to describe moi. Jaded?
Did not use that word to describe you directly. I used that word to describe what it sounded like. It's a difference.
No.
It's like I had to tell my son one day. I told him he was acting like an ass. He claimed that I called him an ass. I said, no, I didn't. I said, you were acting like one. It's a difference.
No. I love your smile, though, behind the mic. But, no, that's not what you said.
Okay.
At all. Because I listened to it a couple times. And even Lawrence said, Pam, I know exactly the moment that you got angry and was going to have a problem with the whole thing. Jaded?
We'll talk about it, Pam. Break it down for some of the people that did not get a chance to listen to that episode.
Well, the first of all, the premise of this show is for male and female perspectives. And sometimes some men call into the show with opinions or their point of views that aren't exactly one on target or two that I don't agree with. So I, as a female, have a right to defend my point of view or defend the woman's side when they say something that I don't agree with. And on a particular call that was done, the gentleman called in and his point of view to me was off. And he knew it because after the show, he inboxed me and said, Pam, did you really have to throw me under the bus like that? And then he said, well, Pam, I know I was wrong, but I'm having that type of problem at home. And I helped him out. So either way, no, it was not jaded. It was the point of view to correct him.
Okay.
Lawrence?
Well, you know, B, I try to defend you as best I could behind that particular statement. And, you know, I explained to her that it would give the appearance sometimes that, you know, some of the things that she says is a little jaded. And so, you know, she didn't agree with me either. She told me to shut my mouth. So, you know, I tried to defend you as best I could. You know, that's one of the things I appreciate most about Pam is that she brings that sense of realness to the show, and you have those people in every show that we do. We always seek feedback from people, and they either love what she said, they either think that she's crazy, or, you know, whatever. So it's never about me. It's always about Pam. It's, oh, that Pam was crazy. Oh my God, I can't believe Pam did this. Oh, I can't believe Pam said that. And so, but they like that for some strange reason. They like the realness and the things that she says because she speaks that voice, the things that sometimes people can't articulate, she will say it.
No doubt. And I definitely, you know, agree with that. And again, it's another reason why I do enjoy the show. But I'm going to stand behind my statement. I'm going to stand behind my statement. I mean, again, I having said what I said, you know, it's sometimes, I guess sometimes, escaping me now. But sometimes, you know, when I hear a caller come on, and as soon as I hear them get like halfway fumbling through what they wanted to say, I can almost hear Pam's shotgun cock. Like, here I come. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, I know she's coming for him. So, you know, sometimes I think, you know, it's like, okay, like the one show that we did, I think the gentleman was poorly trying to say something to the effect of, you know, as a woman, you're going to give the woman's point of view. Mm-hmm. But the way he said it kind of made it sound like, sort of like he was coming for you in a sense. And I was like, oh, dude, clean that up. Quick, clean it up. You know, yeah, you didn't let him get like four more words before you jumped on that ass.
Right. It is search and destroy at that point.
Right. I do remember that point.
If you don't come for me, if you're not ready.
Right. Because I remember saying, don't come for me unless I send for you. It was like, that seemed like.
Yes, ma'am.
Right, the appropriate thing to say. But I also do remember you saying that, you know, before you comment on something or before you come on the show, take time to listen, you know, to hear what we're saying. And I was saying that, you know, doing the In Deep show in studio, I ask a question to our crew, and a lot of times I have to repeat myself, you know, just to, and we're sitting in the same room. So,
ignore you.
Well, okay, there's that. I mean, that's probably the truth, really. But so I guess for him, maybe he could have come in partly to the conversation and didn't hear the entire show because, you know, you guys do tape live. So maybe he didn't hear everything that was being said, you know, before he jumped on. And maybe he should have probably said something like, oh, you know, I just jumped on, or I missed something. Can you, you know, give me a little bit of information or tell me something that I missed? But, you know, yeah, that did not work to his advantage. So, yeah. So, lesson learned for him, I guess. Uh-huh.
No doubt. I have another question. Is there a guest, an ultimate guest that you would love to have on your show?
That's a great question. I don't know. I mean, what do you think, Pam?
Well, if I was going to pick an ultimate guest, for me, it would have to be the person I love the most, and that would be Oprah.
Oh, I thought.
You thought it was going to be you, didn't you?
I thought you were just going to re-record the show.
You know you're not on the list right now. You're on the side. You're on the side list. You're on the A.
Damn, I'm a side list, dude.
You're on the A right now. But, you know, that would be my ultimate guest, only because I really adore how she handles formats when it comes to either radio or TV. So I would love to have her as a guest on the show, not necessarily to give necessarily opinion, but just be there. If anybody wanted to call in, talk to her, she would be my ultimate choice.
Awesome.
Well, you know, I don't know if I really have an ultimate choice. I mean, there's so many people that I could think of. But the first person that came to mind would definitely be Oprah, because I think she would have an interesting perspective. Ultimately, I'd probably like to have somebody like Bishop T.D. Jakes, which I think offers a awesome perspective on things. So that would probably be the person that I would choose.
Awesome.
Now, I'm going to back up behind it. I don't know if I want no pastors on there no more, because I get a little to the left. And Lawrence passed to be listening sometime, and he said, that Pam, she a rough one. So I don't know, because I got to be on my best behavior when the pastor's on the lines. So I don't know if I agree with Lawrence if I would, you know, want him necessarily on the show. He couldn't stay on the whole time, because I know I probably would say the wrong thing and be in trouble.
Okay.
See, but I would like to see that. I would definitely like to see you guys feed off each other.
She goes with the again. You know what? I'm very interested in your the WOW person. So tell us a little bit about who that person is for your show.
So we created the WOW moments to really kind of, so we were, instead of just Pam and I doing a show, we were looking for a way to connect with our audience and realizing that sometimes people have interesting perspectives or interesting things that they want to share. So we, as a form of reaching out, we wanted to have other people to connect, and we felt like them coming on and share 60 seconds of a WOW moment and then, you know, possibly staying on the show or staying on for a few moments, which it was connection. It was trying to establish relationships with people, not really understanding all that our listeners do, but having that chance for them to speak to our listening audience and share their perspective on things. So that was the purpose behind that, was we needed to do some community outreach. We wanted to have our fan base to be a part of the show, and that was one of the tools that we used to do that.
Okay, and for the people that listen to Recap, I know what WOW means, but break down what WOW, the acronym.
Okay.
The WOW is Words of Wisdom. So for 30 seconds to a minute, a person gets an opportunity to come on our show for 1 month and inspire our audience. So we always ask, if you are told that you are the most have the most inspirational thoughts, or you can give that motivation to get someone moving, then we're looking for you. And all they have to do is email us, and we plug them into a month, and then they come on the show. And a lot of times we keep them on after their WOW moment and put them in the conversation.
Well, I know B has his hand raised to be the WOW person. Now, granted, I don't know how that would work out for your listeners, but you know,
we would get to the same result. We would just travel a different road.
Oh boy,
it wouldn't necessarily be words of wisdom. It might be watch out words. You know what I'm saying? But the end result is going to be people that are definitely different from where they started.
Well, B, that's why we don't let Pam do it, because it would be watch out words.
There's that.
She introduces the segment, but that's it.
Okay.
My Pam's the only one not laughing right now.
Right. I know. No, right. That's something. All I hear is the Okay, we're not coming for you, Pam. We're not coming for you. Okay. So, relationship question for you guys. Okay, that I've had this written down. I don't even remember where I got this question from, but so how much personal privacy should a person be allowed in a committed relationship?
Marriage or just dating committed relationship?
It just says in a committed relationship. Sometimes we get questions. They're not always.
Give us both.
You know, yeah. So just give us your perspective on both. That'd be great.
Go ahead, Lawrence, because you know I'm a little off the hook. Let's save me for last. Go ahead, give your Jesus. So,
and I think we did something kind of close to that. Should a person be allowed to keep secrets in a relationship? I personally would say no. And the reason why I say that is because you don't want something that could potentially come out that could ruin trust. And beyond love, beyond I like you a lot, I care about you, if you break someone's trust, if you don't at least give them something to go off of, it could create a pretty bad situation. And I think you could care about somebody and love them, but if you don't trust them, and Pam and I have had long conversations about this, I think it's ruined. So in a marriage, definitely, I don't think you should have any secrets. But in a committed relationship with someone, I think that your level of honesty shows your level of commitment. And if you are willing to be vulnerable, if you are willing to be transparent, hopefully you earn that person's respect, and they won't do anything outside of that to put you out there. And, you know, and it helps you grow closer to each other.
Two different viewpoints. One, when you're in a committed relationship and you're not married, then it means just that, you're not married. So you can respect a person, have trust in a person, but there are limitations. I think that too many times people treat committed relationships like marriage, and you're not married, so there are some degrees of separation there. Married, you should have the ultimate trust. Even though there's privacy, even though you're married, you still have a degree of privacy that you should be allowed. Because when you enter someone's space that much, you will have a tendency to clash somewhere. When you get older, I feel strongly when you get older and you're over 35, 40, you are so settled in your ways that when you get married, you feel like it's too much to compromise or to share. So in order to do those things, you have to have a degree of privacy. Like some people say, well, I have another bank account that he doesn't know about. In a committed relationship, maybe that's fine. In a marriage, that might be a little too much. I think that you just have to be careful when you talk about committed versus marriage, because there should be some degrees of separation when it comes to privacy.
Two things I want to add. So, using the example of the bank account thing there, if you know, if you're married to someone that is just not the best with money, it would be an issue to have a side bank account to just make sure the roof stays over your head or the car stays in the driveway just in case. And if it never comes about, you use the money on vacation.
I agree with that.
Yeah, if a person's not good with money, they shouldn't be the one paying the bills. Let's just get that straight. I think in any relationship, you have someone who's stronger at certain things, so you give them that responsibility so that they're able to, again, keep the roof over the head, over your heads, and keep the cars in the driveway. You know, let's not even play with that, because times are, you know, of the essence, and you can't mess with certain things like that. So if my partner was, if she was better at finances, then she would do that. But fortunately, I am, so.
All right. The second thing is what seems to be the holy grail of all relationship topics. So in a marriage, it's okay for the significant other just to pick up the cell phone and just scroll through and check it on out?
Yeah, that's a different level of privacy, B. I don't, you know, as Pam will probably say, if you seek, you're going to find. So, you know, I've had people to ask me, could they look through my cell phone? I just don't deem that as being appropriate. So, you know, maybe I have to sway my comment a little bit on that wise. I don't think that I have anything to hide, but under the same token, I don't want anybody checking behind me, because that's saying that you don't trust what I'm telling you. And I'd rather give you the information up front versus you having to check behind me to see if what I'm telling you is true. Now, you know, my own personal experience may be kind of a little bit to a fault. I want people to know. And so if I'm talking to another female, or I had a conversation with another female, I will let you know, because I had a personal instance where somebody went to a person that I was dating and said, do you know that Lawrence speaks to so-and-so all the time? And she said, yeah, he tells me every time. The side part of that conversation, when we were alone, she said, if you had not told me that you had been talking to her, I would have been really, really upset. For the mere fact, not that you were talking to her, but that somebody else brought it to my attention, and that's kind of embarrassing. But I was able to deflect it because you always tell me when you talk to that person. So it's that degree of somebody trying to throw something up in your face and say, well, I heard your man was talking to somebody else, and for you to respond and say, oh, I know, he tells me all the time, it shuts that down. So I'd rather have that type of relationship where I tell you that I'm talking to my ex, or I tell you if I'm talking to another female. That way, if you get it, you already know what to do with it. You can shut it down.
All right.
And I want to add, of course, yes, if you seek, you will find. You have no business picking up my phone. I have no business picking up your phone. That is ridiculous. I mean, that comes to me from a place of a person who's had trust issues in the past, and I'm not her. So if you pick up my phone, I'm going to smack your hand. And if you continue to do it, I'm going to put something there for you to find. Because that's just ridiculous. If you don't trust me, why are you with me? Don't pick up my phone.
Mm-hmm. Well, they have spoken. Okay. Yeah. I don't know. Everybody always has locks and stuff on their phone. I'm not a proponent for looking through somebody's phone either. And I believe if you're in a relationship that there should be a level of trust. And, you know, if I can't trust you, then there's no relationship. So you're wasting both of our time.
I'm still at the point where I'm not comfortable, like, if my significant other were to be like, can you go in my purse and get that envelope or something? Like, nah, I'll just bring your purse to you.
Well, yeah, men normally, yeah, you guys are not, yeah, doesn't matter. You're not here for, you won't even go in your mama's purse. So.
Exactly.
So, you know. So before we wrap this up, guys, I wanted to ask you, since starting your podcast in August 2013, what has changed for you?
Pam?
Changed probably is, the biggest change that occurred for us both probably is our topics. Because again, we started off with just any type of topics, and we've now grown to only relationship topics, which is what people request the most. Individually, what has grown the most is probably people asking more questions. So before I had the radio show, people may have come to me and talked to me about certain personal issues, and they appreciated my real opinion, and they would take it as wise counsel. So now it's just that maybe even more people come and may ask a question that they feel I'm going to give them a truthful, real, unbiased answer to. As far as career-wise, I mean, it set us up for opportunities to go out and do real talk conversations live. And so that's a bigger opportunity that's come our way.
Absolutely. I would agree with Pam. Out of the show, I mean, anytime someone's dealing with a relationship type of issue, I get a text, I get a phone call. I got a text from someone the other day saying, hey, give me a call when you get a chance. I got something I want to run by you. So that is definitely one of the things that have changed, that people, because they listen to the show, because they appreciate our perspective, they do reach out and ask us for our opinion on things. Personally, as Pam says, we have the opportunities to go out. I do a real talk session every first or second Tuesday of the month, where instead of a radio audience, I sit in front of live people and we talk about relationship types of issues. I also do some speaking at the church that I attend in reference to relationship topics or just real things that are going on in society, and have the opportunity to speak on it and offer my perspective on that as well.
Nice.
Wonderful. Where do you do these the one-on-ones or the audience participation?
It's a place in Woodlawn called Peju's. It's like a restaurant, and they have a little bar. And on Tuesday night, they do it the second Tuesday of the month. The bar part is closed off, and it's probably 20 to 30 people who might come out. And I prepare questions, but I also ask questions, and I ask questions of them to, you know, what do you want to talk about tonight? And I try to get people's perspective on that, just because it's important. And again, when people feel like they have a voice, when people feel like they can share, we call it a non-judgmental environment. So whatever you say, it stays there. No one is allowed to judge you. So you get the chance to speak freely. And one of the things I've learned a lot, excuse me, about being in a live audience, because you get to gauge people's body language. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people who come are now regulars. And so they just give it to you real. And that's the thing that I appreciate the most, is that people have that trust that they can just let their guards down and say, this is me, this is what I'm dealing with, this is what I'm going through, can you help me, or can somebody here help me deal with it?
Okay. That sounds really awesome. No doubt. And people do need that type of forum where, you know, if they need to get something off their chest or ask a question, you know, on In Deep Show, we have topics or questions that we get from people too. And we try to be as open and honest as we can. Sometimes we're a little too open and honest, but, you know, I think people really respect that when you can, you know, just be your true and genuine self.
Some of our questions that we get.
Yeah, they're crazy.
We get some crazy.
Yeah, we get some really great ones, but sometimes you're like, wait, is this real? Like, somebody just playing with us, or is this like a serious, like somebody's having an issue? And it feels really good when people, you know, trust you enough or value your opinion enough that they reach out to you and want, you know, your opinion on their situation. So I can totally understand that, Lawrence.
Absolutely. And I mean, it's great. I mean, it's great, again, that people trust us enough and they come to us, and, you know, Pam and I sit down, we go to a restaurant and we pull on the waitress and we pull on the people around us, because we generally can gauge, you know, we watch people watch us as we engage in conversation, and we ask their opinion. You know, what do you think? What do you think about this? What do you think about that? And you would be surprised at some of the responses that we get from the most unlikely sometimes.
Mm-hmm. It's scary sometimes.
It is very, very
walk
scary.
Walk around thinking like this.
Yeah, well, I mean, but again, that's a great testimony to you guys. That means people feel comfortable with you, that they can just be their true and genuine self, even though on the inside you might be like, oh my God, what the... But, you know, but so that's really cool. So I want to thank you guys for joining us on RTR. Let everybody know where they can find your show. And if you have any way they can find the archive show, because I wasn't able to tell them on the last recap. So, just talk about your show as we close out.
Go ahead, Pam.
He had to have me talk about this. This is a sore subject for me. But anyway, we are a part of the WXRP family out of Atlanta, Georgia. So you can find us on Monday nights from 8 to 9 by way of web at www.blogtalkradio.com/WXRP4, or on by way of phone on that same night at 646-478-3474. As far as the archives, we're working on that.
Okay. Well, stay tuned. Oh, what are you guys on Twitter or Facebook, or maybe your email address in case people want to email you questions?
Yes, we are. The email address is adifferentidentity@gmail.com. We're also on Twitter at adifferentid. And we're also on Facebook at adifferentidentity. So you can find us at any one of those places.
Awesome. Thanks again, guys, for joining us today. We're going to take a quick break and we will be right back.
Come in, so I won't lose it. interference, perseverance. Now let me say this clearly, cause I need no clearance. Do you have insurance for you and your children? I say that I don't, just to make an appearance. I'm standing tall on the ball, leaning back. Black power, look, I'm trying to bring the meaning back.
Hey, welcome seems back like a wish away. From the break. Like a villain on the corner with a that was fun. I wasn't really sure where it was going to go when you guys started talking about the whole jaded thing. Like, I was expecting, like, an epic battle. Like, I wanted to go Hadouken! Fight! Ding, 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 ding. But,
yeah.
You guys were good.
Absolutely. You guys were good. I really wanted to, really focus on them because they are a show that really has good content. Mm-hmm. And I just really wanted to focus on that, and we'll schedule a battle royale with me and Miss Pam
Pacquiao and
right you know what I'm saying. They made y'all wait, y'all can wait for this. Mm-hmm. Like, give her time to step her game up.
Oh my.
Yep. Come on, A. Really?
Oh.
Really?
Okay.
Do you think she was really ready for what would have happened on this here airwaves?
Oh my. Well.
Please understand.
Yes. Looking forward to it. So, thanks again to.
Find out your little light skinned Don King over there.
My hair is really big today, too, though. So, Pam and Lawrence, thank you so much for joining us. Can't wait to check out some more episodes of your show. So I'm looking forward to it.
As am I.
You're trying to be that wild person still, huh?
Absolutely.
It would be really interesting, I'm not going to lie.
That wild could stand for so many things for me. But watch out, white people.
Oh my, wait, what? It stands for words of wisdom.
I understand what they you're
just going. You're just going to change it. Okay.
I'm just saying, I know what it could stand for. All right. Me.
Okay. Well, I'm looking forward to it either way. Either way it goes. I'm looking for the Pam and Big B discussion. I'm going to say it nicely like that, discussion. So.
And that's exactly what it is. You damn people just dying to see black people tear each other down. But we won't allow it.
Mm-mm. Well, maybe.
Well, maybe. But it's not about me. It's about somebody else right now.
Can I talk my Can shit talk again?
This is Queen Neen from the In Deep Show and Recap the Recap. And I know it's been a long time coming, but can I talk my shit? I was just sitting here thinking, what the hell am I going to talk about? And I've been thinking about friends. Sometimes it's like you think people should be there for you when you want them to be there for you. But then you have to understand, and this may sound a little confusing, but you have to understand not everybody's going to do what you do. I recently, had someone I care about very much go through something. And I'm not that type of person where I reach out, to people. Sometimes I kind of just say, things that are out of my character. And I expect people to know, if you know me, I expect you to pay attention and see that that is not something I would normally say or do. So I had, I had somebody I really care for go through something. And I reached out to, some of my friends, in a way that was unlike myself, and some of the reactions I got back were kind of in that mode, kind of what I felt was half-assed, not half-fast, like the commercial, half-assed. And I really thought, wow, these are people that are supposed to be my friends, and they're not seeing, where I am in this moment. And I had to kind of sit back, and I talked to my sister, and I talked to B, and I thought, okay, just because you would do something, that doesn't mean somebody else would do it. And also, you need to be vocal and tell people what it is that you want. And so I kind of took a step back, and I was like, I need to tell people I need help. I need you, People are very open and they do that to me, I need to be able to return the favor and not automatically, you know, cut people off or push people to the side when they don't do what I think that they should do. Especially, again, when I'm not being vocal about it, you know. So, you know, I don't know. So that's just something for people to think about. Before you cut somebody off, before you get mad at somebody or upset with somebody and you think, damn, I would do this for them. Take a step back, breathe, think about it. Think, just because you would do it for them doesn't necessarily mean they would do it for you. But keep in mind, were you vocal enough to tell them what it was that you wanted? Because when I actually sat down with some friends and I told them, hey, this is what I was looking for from you, they had no idea, you know. So I'm glad I actually did say what I need to say to them, because they had no clue, you know. And I was willing to just be like, ah, fuck them and fuck this, and excuse my vulgarity, but, you know, but that was what was on my mind, you know. So, yeah, this is what you get when you get a can of talk my shit. I mean, come on. See how easy this was? Just something that was on your mind, something on your heart. Pull out your phone, hit record, get to talking. And, yeah, this was almost a 5-minute can I talk my shit. So, now granted, you can't do one this long, but still. Anyway, this is Queen Neen, and I have talked my shit.
Well, that was a fun show today.
It was.
Yay.
If Can anybody I talk my shit again? Ever questions the fact that they don't know what to say on it, can I talk my shit?
Welp.
I will refer them to this show and smack 3 years off of them.
Yeah, that was a little long, so.
That's what she said.
Apologies for that. Hey, you don't have to go on and on and on and get your rambly.
No, you cannot go on and on.
Right. Well, okay. You can't go on and on and on, but.
I did extend it. I did extend my El Presidente powers.
You. Thank you.
To one person.
Oh, okay. Yes, you sure did. You sure did. Yeah.
You know, he has reached a milestone in which he can talk his shit.
Shout out to K. Martin. Yep, you sure did. But. Anyway, thank you guys for listening to the show. Thank you for sharing the show. Thank you so much for supporting us on RTR. We greatly appreciate you. And you can find us at Recap the Recap on Twitter. And if you want to send us an email or send us a Can I Talk My Shit, you can send it to recaptherecap@gmail.com.
PayPal. Intodeep@yahoo.com. We need you. It's coming up.
Word. Bye.